This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, and together with me is T. Xiao Eek. So before the break, we did a quick check-in on Sabah, just to see what the situation on the ground is. And now moving on to our second story, we've been asking you on social media.
Yes, we have a poll on Twitter, actually, and we're talking about doom scrolling, which we'll get into as we get ahead with our story. But we're asking you, do you find yourself doom scrolling more this year? And so far, 69.4% of you have said yes, and 30.6% of you have said no. Keep those votes coming in at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So this will definitely sound familiar to the nearly 70% of you who took that poll. It certainly sounds familiar to me. You get on social media, you start reading post after post or headline after headline. It's all doom and gloom. It's all negative news. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you're sucked into just binging on these. And along with that, you just find your emotional state getting pulled lower and lower.
That's right.
And that, as you said earlier, it has a name. It's called doom scrolling or doom surfing. And you know, the sort of wide definition of that is the tendency to continue to surf or scroll through bad news, even though that news is saddening, disheartening, or depressing. It is a little different from just going online to read the news, you know. When it comes to doom scrolling, there's this sort of compulsion, a compulsion to keep plugging into the bad news, you know, to keep wanting to check, even like, though it's making you feel bad. It's often like falling into a rabbit hole.
You can't get out of it.
Yes. Yeah. You just keep wanting to engage and know more about all these things that are going wrong in the world.
And the more you read, the more you get sucked
in. Exactly, yeah. Right? And it's not a new practice, but it has become more and more common in 2020. Thanks to a few reasons, more people spending more time at home, the constant stream of COVID-19 news, and just a general sense of anxiety without getting easy answers, you know?
And speaking of all this bad news, I mean, look at what's been happening here at home. 2 weeks ago, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin met with the Yang di-Pertuan Agong to propose a declaration of emergency. So while that did not take place, that whole weekend was rife with speculation, and most Malaysians were glued to the news and to their social media feeds for updates. I'm sure many of you ended up doom scrolling, maybe without even realizing it. And then, of course, there's our tendency to be checking numbers, COVID-19 numbers, every day. We have been reaching record highs. This week was all higher than 1,000 new cases daily. And of course, with the tabling of Budget 2021 that's happening later today, all of that is coming on the back of a sense of extreme anxiety over the economy. You know, politically, there's a question of whether Tan Sri Muhyiddin still commands a majority in Parliament, whether the budget can be passed. And of course, this leads to us worrying about any potential future political instability in our country, which we have seen happening already this year, you know. And then if we look across our borders, there's the US elections between President Donald Trump and Joe Biden, which apparently they just can't decide on who's going to be the president. It's been over 3 days.
Yes.
And I know we've talked about COVID-19 a lot, but really that has been with us for so long that I think we've come to live with this general confusion and anxiety, not only about the health implications of the pandemic, but with the MCOs here and there, the SOPs. What are we allowed to do? What are we not allowed to do? All of that is just feeding in to all this uncertainty.
Absolutely. You know, until I started seeing this word doom scrolling popping up here and there, as you said earlier, I don't think I realized what I was doing. But the clearest example of it was actually over the weekend when Tan Sri Muhyiddin met with the Agong. Partly because of work as well, because, you know, we were sort of on standby in case news and so on.
That's right.
But I just couldn't unplug, and I kept going on Twitter, going on, you know, various news feeds and scrolling and scrolling to see if there were updates. And even if there were no updates on this, you know, there were just opinions from people, speculation, feedback, and it just became this loop.
Yeah, and because social media is such a content beast, and a lot of media organizations like us, we're trying to give people information. So we're talking about, you know, what is an emergency? What would that look like? And you find yourself, you know, clicking on those. And like you say, it's a rabbit hole. You just keep going on to other opinions and other analyses.
Yeah, I think the US elections has seen the same thing happening, definitely for people in America. America, but even around the world. Yeah. I think the whole seeing that meter red and blue move from one side, it's been so anxiety inducing.
That's right.
As I said, you know, doom scrolling or doom surfing, they're not new terms. Business Insider actually said that it's speculated that it's been around at least since 2018, where it was first seen on Twitter. But what's interesting is that 2020 actually saw a huge leap in the use of the word in articles, on social media, and particularly on articles warning of the negative impacts of doom scrolling or doom surfing. Mm-hmm. You know, coupled with things like, basically, if you're looking for an easy formula, it's the COVID-19 and the constant need for updates on the pandemic, something that does make sense. Like, you want to keep yourself informed. Mm-hmm. But that plus the increased time that people have indoors, you're not doing as many other things.
Yeah.
And so what do you get? You just go into a spiral of doom scrolling all day long. Mm. By some estimates, our screen time has increased by 50% this year.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
That contributes to some of this as well.
And you know what? The worst time of the day to be doing it is at night before you go to sleep.
Exactly. And then you don't sleep.
Oh, you have really bad nightmares.
Yes. So I was quite interested to find out that Merriam-Webster Dictionary actually has a words we're watching list. Mm. And in April 24th this year, they added doom scrolling and doom surfing to it.
Mm-hmm.
And dictionary.com named it one of its new words we created because of the coronavirus. And if you look at, say, Google Trends, interest in the word doom scrolling actually started peaking worldwide from about April this year. So just about the time when the pandemic was sort of taking off around the world, and has actually steadily increased in usage over 2020.
Not surprising. Yeah.
Yes. And of course, alongside with that comes an increased recognition of the practice itself, as well as how it negatively impacts our mental health.
And we should not underestimate that impact. You know, health experts have talked about, you know, things like feeling angry, anxious, depressed and unproductive because of all this doom scrolling. And basically, it contributes to the feeling of being overwhelmed by stress. I mean, because in a very practical sense, we are stressed out by real things which are happening in our daily lives, work, perhaps income and financial situation. And then we're compounding that with what we read about things that may be a bit distant from us, but,
yes,
you know, we're making it real to ourselves, right? And we come off with this feeling of, like, there's this mean world syndrome, like the world is a more dangerous or awful place than it actually is. And, you know, the fact that it's stuff that we are reading on social media, and it's whether it's scrolling or you're just jumping from one article to another, it's actually a passive act. And that can leave us feeling less connected with our loved ones and ourselves and what's actually going on around us.
Right, as opposed to actually getting involved or feeling like you have control over something.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. So to help us unpack not just why we doom scroll, but what we can do about it, we have on the line Dr. Eugene T, Associate Professor in Psychology. Thank you for joining us, Dr. T. So there are a lot of things happening in the world and in Malaysia currently. And, you know, it's quite natural to want to keep up to date. But how do we tell the difference between wanting to stay informed and it crossing the line into becoming doom scrolling or something that isn't good for us?
Doom scrolling or doom surfing is the act of accessing and attending to an endless procession of negative news. Staying informed is good. We all do it and we need to be updated on rapidly changing events. But it becomes doom scrolling when we're not able to pull or shift attention away from the endless stream of negative news. So if you find yourself hooked, paying attention exclusively to calamities, disasters, new infections, or even the all too regular political maneuvering and missteps, then that might be doom scrolling. Note that there isn't a clinical diagnosis of the term. It is not recognized as an addiction or psychological disorder.
But what do you think prompts this compulsion to keep scrolling through negative news?
I suspect it is our brains being hijacked into paying attention to threats and dangers, something that it's been wired to do over our evolutionary history. Threats and dangers, be it immediate or looming, demand and occupy more of our attention than, say, what is pleasant or mundane. Recent and ongoing threats like steadily creeping infections, loss of important resources like water and food, the threat of societal and environmental stability, all these demand our attention. Fear and anxiety are persistent and primal emotions, both of which have an imperative effect. Psychologists have a term that partly explains why we tend to focus on the negative. It's simply called the negativity bias. This tendency is also known as the bad is stronger than good effect. So place all the threats in an easy-to-access scroll for more information platform on our handheld smart devices, and there you have it. Your phone becomes a portable threat indicator with constant updates about dangers, accessible at the scroll or swipe of your forefinger.
And what is the impact of this constant consumption of bad news from online or social media on our mental and emotional health?
Some research in fact indicates that accessing social media content passively is related to negative psychological outcomes. One large-scale study of Scandinavian youths, for one, found passive social media use to be related to anxiety and depression or depressed mood. And this was particularly true for girls than it was for boys. And in another study, sampling Chinese college students, what the researchers found that it was associated with lowered self-esteem and subsequently lowered life satisfaction. So a study sampling American respondents also showed passive social media use to be associated with depressive symptoms. One of these studies showed that consuming social media passively led to constant comparison with others and feelings of envy. And what this simply suggests is that the negative effects is not just solely due to viewing bad news. So I can only guess that if passively scrolling through any material leads to poorer psychological outcomes, then passively scrolling through negative news is going to amplify the effect it has on our mental health.
But is there a difference between only scrolling through these stories online versus having conversations with people about them? Is one better than the other?
First answer, yes, there is a difference. Engaging in conversations with people about the bad news can be seen as active social media use rather than the passive. While the effects of such actions are not as detrimental on our well-being than, say, passive use, we're not seeing a lot of positive benefits of active social media use either. The studies I mentioned earlier did examine active social media use and its effects on well-being. They found that some active use might be beneficial in lowering depression or buffering against emotional distress. The effects are not strong, however, not at least from the studies I've come across, so the jury is still out on this one, but I would hazard a guess and say that active engagement with others will have, at best, a minimally positive effect on our mental health. The effects seem different for online social support groups, however. Some studies show that these groups, comprising of individuals with shared concerns, joining in and sharing experiences to these dedicated social support groups online, these can indeed have a positive effect on well-being.
So what can we do to limit the negative impacts of doom scrolling?
Well, stop scrolling, for one. Easier said than done, of course. But the essential first step is to realize why it is difficult to pull away. Remember, it's your brain doing what it has always done, attend to and pay attention to threats. Recognize that this is what it wants you to pay attention to. So the bread in the oven can wait. You can unload the clothing from your washing machine later if the daily update of new infection cases is just about to be announced. So recognize and schedule when you will allow yourself to check in with the news and updates. It may be enough, using the COVID-19 pandemic as an example, to obtain a summary of the new cases and locations reporting new cases once or twice a day. Okay, maybe start with checking in 3 times a day and see if you can lower that to just twice a day. Swap your default, automatic, or habitual tendency to reach for your phone when you're bored or anxious. Replace that instead with a quick walk around your apartment or redirect it to a gaming app on your phone. The key idea here is to redirect your attention elsewhere to something that is not all doom and gloom.
Now, Dr. T, you know, certain jobs, certain people may not have the luxury of switching off. You know, even myself, for example, because, you know, we work in the media and we do need to continue keeping up to date. So how can people like these continue to stay informed but also manage their mental health?
I think part of managing a consistent stream of negativity, instability and uncertainty comes from, I think, something most journalists or members of the media are trained to do, to view the situation objectively and report them as honestly and as impartially as possible. So shout out to the folks at BFM. I think they're well placed to do this. So reminding yourselves that you're reporting things objectively, non-judgmentally, and choosing not to react to the news, these can help in reminding yourself that you're approaching the task in the spirit of journalism journalistic or media integrity. Psychology has a term for this approach. It is managing your emotions by way of reappraising the situation. So you would first start off by acknowledge that you're feeling fear and discomfort from attending to unpleasant news. But seeing your job of reporting the unvarnished truth as a reaffirming reminder of why you do what you do. So, for instance, you can remind yourselves that your reporting has the powerful ability to sway public thoughts and emotions. A reminder that your job aids in combating misinformation, to enlighten rather than enrage, to clarify rather than to confuse. Thinking about your job in such a way can help you carve meaning when you're covering the most difficult of stories. And don't forget to devote some time off. Somewhat ironically, if you're in the media industry, taking time away from the media can indeed help you recharge, recover, and replenish.
Thank you, Dr. T. There's certainly some good advice there. Mm-hmm. That was Dr. Eugene T., Associate Professor in Psychology.
Yes. So we've been asking you on Twitter, do you find yourself doom scrolling a lot more this year? And it would seem that, yeah, almost 69% of you do. And only 31% of you have said no. You know, if you want to keep those votes coming in, tweet us at BFM Radio or tell us, share any of your concerns with us via WhatsApp 0187-789-8899. Where would you say you fall within the spectrum, Shamila?
Oh, I took the poll. I said yes. I do doom scroll. And you know, it's easy to convince yourself that it's because it's useful and that it's needed without realizing that it is harmful as well, and that you kind of do need to portion it out in some ways.
Ah, yes. But what are you doom scrolling, right? Is it all these long reads and analyses from sort of like portals about issues, or is it people's personal posts and opinions?
I think it's a combination of the two. And definitely the articles tend to lead to other articles. So that's the other thing. Like every time you open one thing, then there are suggested links, which are all equally.
Read about our.
Yes. So the moment you click on something about one kind, you know, we find out that there are long-term effects to COVID, right? And then you just fall into a rabbit hole of, here's a personal account of someone who survived it. Here's what happened. Here are the numbers. And before you know it, you've just spent an entire night only reading about these things. And it can do a lot to increase your anxiety.
And organizations, content portals, I would hazard a guess to say, including us, we've become quite good at the clickbait headlines. Mm-hmm. And those really suck you in, don't they? Because it's crafted in such a way that it's as if it answers this question that affects you personally and directly, and you feel like you have to read it, you know.
And as you said, the personal post also, because so many people are stressed and so many people are anxious and they turn to their social media to express that. But scrolling through, you know, 40, 50, 60 updates on how anxious people are or how angry people are makes you angry or anxious
as well. Yeah. I mean, so some strategies, apart from what Dr. Eugene mentioned earlier, could also be, you know, if you know that there's a big news event coming up, let's say the tabling of the budget or the results of the US election, just for instance, and you know you'll be tempted to doom scroll, try and create a specific plan for how often you check news online. So like Dr. Eugene said, maybe keep it to 3 times a day, and then you can actually just dial it down after that, you know. And of course, I think a logical thing would be to do stuff that doesn't involve screens.
Yes.
Again, Dr. Eugene said, you know, just go take a walk around, play some other games. If you have to be on your device, play some games on your device, for instance, right? Or just pick up some cooking.
Or read a book.
Exactly. Also have real conversations. Schedule, pencil in time for actual conversations, you know, with your partners, with your family, with your friends. And of course, try to stay away from the doom scrolling type of topics.
Yes. Yeah. And one thing you can easily do is clean up your social media accounts. Unfollow, portals or people who tend to be more negative, which is not easy because now I'm about to say, though, you should continue to follow us at BFM Radio. But I think whatever helps, or maybe mute some of them for a while. Mm. If you want a weekend off, mute all of your news notifications for a while, you know?
And I think that making the conscious effort to say at this, during this window, I'm going to switch off. Mm. And I've done it before during the weekend.
Yes, me too.
And, you know, my team, all of you, you know, if there's something really urgent you need me to respond to, you'll message me privately.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So I don't have to like keep being very anxious about every little notification that comes in.
That's right. So we do have to wrap up, but you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll try not to be all doom and gloom. You can also WhatsApp us if you want to share us your thoughts, 018-789-8899, or on Facebook, we are BFM The Bigger Picture. And if you've missed any part of today's show, the podcasts are up at bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 p.m. news, Dashrin Johan on Live and Learn will be speaking to Wanya Shin, who is the research manager of social policy over at IDEAS, and they will be talking about how the Malaysian education system neglects Orang Asli. So that's it from us today on the Daily Digest. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.